Today, I thought I would start off verses. I want us to read them together, so I'm actually going to ask you guys to stand up again. But these verses are kind of at the heart of this month. Yeah, go ahead and stand up. This is a little bit off. So these verses are at the heart of the month today, and they're kind of at the heart of my sermon. And really, as you read them, I just want you guys just to, these are common verses. You guys have all read them multiple times. But I just want you guys just to dwell on the verse for a little bit. And so the first one is very common. I'm having a lot of problems here. Just give me a moment. Sounds better. All right, hopefully. All right, the first verse is very common. It's the Great Commission. Matthew 28:18. Let's read it together. Then Jesus to earth and said, "All authority in heaven and earth and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." All right. That's going to drive me nuts. The next verse is very similar to this one, but is a little bit of a twist. Can we turn that down a little bit? All right. So the next one is Matthew 24:14. And let's read this one. "And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." All right, you guys go ahead and take your seat. Now, the first verse that we read is a commandment, the last commandment that Jesus gives us. It's a great task ahead of us to reach the nations, to reach the nations for His glory. And in Matthew 24, it is actually another saying from Jesus. He is saying this, but if you look at this Matthew 24 passage, you see that this is a prophecy. It's a prophecy. In the future, all of the kingdom, all of the nations will hear the gospel. And so right now, as a church, as believers, we are in the in-between period. We are in the in-between period. God given us a commandment. We have not yet seen this happen, but in the future we will see it happen. We will see all the nations believe in God. But exactly what does that mean? What does Jesus mean when He says that? Well, if you actually Google the word nations, it will come up with about 193 nations in the world today. But that's not exactly what Jesus is talking about. Because if you look at the Greek word behind the word nation, and the Greek word is ethnos. And ethnos, we get our English word ethnic. It's ethnic groups. Another way of saying that is people groups. So how many people groups are there in the world today? Well, this ranges very widely depending on how you group people up. But there's anywhere between 10,000 to 24,000 different people groups in the world today. And for the sake of my sermon, I'm just going to concentrate on, I'm going to say there's 17,000. I'm not just grabbing that number out of the air. Actually, the resource I use today, joshuaproject.org, that's how many people groups that they have or that they believe exist in the world. And so there are 17,000 people groups in the world today. And so the question I want to ask is, how are we doing? How are we doing with this task that Jesus gave us? This task to reach the nations. How are we doing in the last 2,000 years? And so joshuaproject.org, they break down these numbers for us. And here is just a simple pie chart. And so what you see here is you see there are over 7,000 people groups in the world that have yet to be reached. 7,000 people groups in the world, almost 42%. Now, what does that mean? Well, the way they break it down is that means there are less than 2% of the people in those people groups have a relationship with Jesus as their God and Savior. Less than 2%. And they exist in a culture and a society that is very anti-Christian. In fact, if you actually dive deeper into those numbers, into those 7,000 people groups, what you will see is that about 1,500 of them have 0%. 0% of people who will say that they have a relationship with God and their Savior. In fact, the vast majority of them are less than 1%. Now, let's go on to the next categories, the orange and yellow one. What does those categories represent? The minimally reached and the superficially reached. Well, they represent similarly to the red category, there are less than 2% of the people in those cultures and those people groups that have a relationship with God, have a relationship with Jesus. Less than 2%. But the difference is that they exist in our society, in a culture that was at one time Christian. Many of the European people groups would be in this category. They don't have that relationship with Jesus and God, but if you ask many of the European people groups, they would say, yes, I am a Christian. And they would say that because they simply were baptized when they were a baby, or because they were born in a Christian home. But at the same time, they don't know Jesus. They don't know that Jesus is their God. The last two categories, the light green one, is they have 2% to 10% people who would identify as having a relationship with Jesus as their God and Savior. And then the last one, the green one, the dark green one, is more than 10%. America, we fall into that category. But as you see in this chart, we can safely say that there are over more than 50% of the people groups in the world that have not been reached. The task that Jesus has given to us is unfinished. We have yet to reach the world. In fact, in some ways, it almost feels like we're failing. I mean, 50%. If you get a 50% on a quiz, on a test, what is that? That's an F. If you completed only 50% of your work assignment at your job, would your boss be happy with that? In the last 2,000 years, we have only reached 50% of the people groups in the world. But I don't want to leave you with this, that pessimism. Because if you look at these numbers, it might seem like it's really depressing. But in all honesty, what's happened in the last 100 years is quite remarkable. For example, from the year that Jesus went back up to heaven, all the way up to 1900, the amount of Christians in the world was around 2.5% of the world's population. From 1900 to 1970, that number doubled. So in 70 years, we saw just as many people come to become Christians as the first 1900 years of the gospel, the message, reaching out to the nations. But it doesn't end there, because from 1970 to 2010, we saw that number jump from 5% all the way up to 12% now. God is doing something remarkable. I mean, think about it. In 40 years, 7% more of the world's population became rich. In fact, you can really easily see how this came about when you look at the number of missionaries that went out in the world throughout the years. If you look at 1900, you can see that there were 62,000 missionaries who went out to the nation. 62,000. And about 50%, 55% of the world was unreached. 55% of the world did not have access to the gospel of Christ. But then look at 2016. And you see that now there's 410,000 missionaries who go out to the world. And only about 30% of the world population don't have access to the gospel. They can't hear the gospel. That is remarkable what's happened in the last 100 years. It should give you hope. It should give you excitement. God is doing something unique. Are you ready to jump on board? Are you ready to come alongside God and to finish this task that He gave to us? This task of reaching the nations? I am. When I look at that, I am ready. We're so close. And so today in my sermon, we're going to talk about how we can go about reaching the nations. How can we go about finishing this unfinished task? And to do that, I'm going to look at two different verses in two different books. The first one is in Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. And what we're going to see in this part of Scripture, we're going to see that the gospel message is a matter of life and death. The gospel message is a matter of life and death. And the second part of Scripture is in Romans 10, 13 through 15. And this one is just going to be a very easy progression of how we can go about reaching the nations. What we need to do as individuals to go and reach the nations for God's glory. And then I wanted to finish off my sermon by just telling you guys about things we are doing at KCCC to empower you and to help you guys finish this task that God has given us. But before we go any farther, let's go ahead and turn to Ephesians, and it's chapter 2. And we're going to read the first five verses. So Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. And it says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of power of the air, the spirit that is now at work at the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." The gospel is a matter of life and death. But oftentimes we don't really see it that way. In our culture, it has become very easy for us to put the gospel of Christ in the back of our mind. And so that when we see someone who is a non-believer, when we see someone who is not a Christian, we tell ourselves, like, hey, we don't need to share our faith with him. It's just going to make things awkward. Or, hey, we don't need to share our faith with them. We might upset them. We might make them angry. We don't see it as a matter of life and death. We don't see them as being dead in their sins, being dead in their trespasses. We don't see them as dead men walking. We see them as just simply people who are just aren't Christians. For us, we have a hard time viewing the gospel as a matter of life and death. But it's very easy for me to see this in my own life. Because you see, I didn't grow up in the church. So for the first 16 years of my life, I was in the world, I was in the sin, and I had no teaching. I had no God. I had no Jesus. But when I became a Christian when I was 17, I became alive for the first time ever. And I saw a transformation. I saw a difference between who I was and who I was becoming. I saw the difference that Jesus made in my life. And so it became more real to me. And I realized that all my friends at school, all of my peers, that they were still walking in their death. They were still walking in their sin. They were still walking in the world. They weren't alive. And the gospel that I received, it had the power to make them alive as well. We see in this passage that talks about being saved, having salvation. But exactly what are we being saved from? If you would ask most people in our culture, most people in our society, they would tell you that we are being saved from hell. And, you know, that's sort of right, but actually I kind of see it more as being saved from hell as being kind of like a consequence of the greater action that Jesus did on the cross. See, when Jesus died on the cross, he did not die to save us from hell. That wasn't really the purpose of his death. He died for a far greater cause, for a far greater reason. He died to save us from the righteous wrath of a just God. Jesus Christ died to save us from the righteous wrath of a just God. I've been reading this book lately with my STL members. It's a book called Radical by David Platt. Now, David Platt, he's an author, he's a speaker, he's a phenomenal, phenomenal speaker. And he's actually going to be at the Chinese Mission Conference this year in December. And so I encourage you guys to read this book. And I encourage you to come to the Chinese Mission Conference and meet the guy who wrote it and ask him questions. It's going to be an incredible time. That's December 27th to 31st, but he's going to be there. And he talks a little bit about the importance of the gospel and what Jesus did on the cross. And he says, in his book. What happened at the cross was not primarily about nails being thrust into Jesus' hands and feet, but about the wrath due your sin and my sin being thrust upon his soul. In that holy moment, all the righteous wrath and justice of God due to us came rushing down like a torrent on Christ. You see, before we became a believer, we were dead in our sins, and we were full deserving of the wrath of God. God's wrath laid upon us because He is a good, He's a just God. He has to destroy evil. And so we were dead. We were dead men walking. We just didn't know it. But after you become a believer, Christ, He takes that wrath upon Himself. He gets punished for our sins. And that is what we are being saved from on the cross. We are being saved from the wrath of God. Another way of seeing it, another way of putting it, is just imagine yourself standing before a dam. Imagine standing before the Erie Dam, the enormous dam. Imagine just standing before it and just looking at it. And all of a sudden you see it break apart. And you see this humongous wave of water rushing to you. At that very moment, you know that you're going to die. There's no hope. There's no way that you're going to survive this. But then imagine what would happen if like a giant crack opened up right before you and it just sucked up all the water before it got to you. You see, the water rushing towards you is the wrath of God. But the crack opening up is Jesus Christ. He is taking on all that wrath so that we might live for the first time. And so you see in this section of Scripture that the gospel, it is a message of life and death. There are people who are dying in the world. And we have the words that can save them. But now I want to go on to the next part, to the next verse, the next scripture. And this scripture is Romans 10, 13 through 15. And this gives us an easy progression, a practical steps of how we can go about reaching the nations for Christ. So, I'm going to go ahead and turn there. Romans 10, 13 through 15. Says, for with one heart one believes and is justified, and one the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. This is the wrong verse. Let me just read it from the book. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will we call on Him in whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? I'm going to blame that on the time change. But yeah. To save people from death, we must preach the word to them. Here in this verse, you see an easy progression. You see an easy progression. You see that the people who will call on the name to be saved from death, to be saved from hell, they first must believe. But for them to believe, they first must hear the word of God. And when you look at all these unreached people groups in the world today, many of them have no opportunity to hear the word of God. So how can they believe? My wife, she grew up in such culture. She did not hear about Jesus Christ until she was in college. You see, she was the president of the English club at her school. And so she had the privilege of any time a foreign group would come to the school, she'd be the one to give them a tour of the school because many times they would speak English. And so one time, this group from the Philippines showed up at her school. And she's giving them a tour. And one of the girls, as he was touring around the school, kind of stopped my wife and says, is everything okay? You see, at this moment in my wife's life, things were falling apart. There was so much pain and so much hurt in her life. And she was so lost. She was so confused. She didn't know what to turn to. And so she went to the Buddhist temple. And she prayed at the Buddhist temple. She went to all these things because she knew that she needed spiritual help. And so when this person from the Philippines asked her, "Are you okay?" She kind of just, she broke down. And she kind of just, maybe it was because it was a stranger. It was easier to just talk to a stranger. But she kind of just opened up about all the struggles, all the problems that she was facing. And when did she know it? This person from the Philippines, they were like, "Can I pray for you in the name of Jesus?" Now my wife, she didn't know who Jesus was. She didn't know what they believed. She was just like, "Yes, pray, please pray. I need something." And so they prayed. And when did she know it? God answered those prayers. And all of a sudden, my wife was like, "Who is this Jesus? What happened?" And so she started to go to the Bible club that they had at the school that these Filipino missionaries were leading on their campus. And she went there for 2 years, and she kept hearing the gospel. She kept hearing about Jesus. And finally, Jesus just became so real to her that she finally called out to Jesus and said, "Jesus, please save me." But that never would have happened if it wasn't for those Filipino missionaries going to Vietnam to preach the word, to preach the gospel. In the same way, God is sending us out to preach as well. We are all preachers. You guys are like, whoa, wait a minute. You and Pastor Wei are the preachers. I'm not a preacher. But that's not the case. You see, my job and Pastor Wei's job is to empower you guys with the truth of the gospel, to empower you guys with the knowledge of Scripture, so that you guys can go out and preach the word to a dying generation, to a dying world. That is my job, and that is Pastor Wei's job. But we are also to join you guys. Me and Pastor Wei are also to join you guys in going out and preaching. This job of preaching is for all believers. We are all called out to go to the nations, to preach to them the gospel, the gospel that will save their lives. It will save them from the wrath of God. But not only are we called to preach, we're also called to support preachers. Meaning that when people do go overseas, when people do go out to preach, everyone in here should be supporting them, sending them, helping them in every way possible, by prayers, financially, whatever they need. We're not only called to preach the gospel to the nations, but we're also called to send people to preach the gospel to the nations. It is a firm conviction of mine that every believer should be supporting missionaries overseas. One or two or three missionaries overseas. Me and my wife, we support, I think, 3 missionaries, the last time I checked. A couple in Ukraine and one in Spain. We support missionaries. I believe we also support, because that's how we are living out the truth of the Scripture. We are helping send people to preach the gospel to dying nations. Are you willing to go out and preach? Parents, this is something I want to talk about because I'm a youth pastor. Parents, are you willing to send your kids overseas to reach the nations? To fulfill this great commission? To fulfill this task, this unfinished task? Are you willing to teach your kids the passion, the heart of God to reach the nations? It's not easy. I know. I have a daughter. And if my daughter grew up, and when she was 18, and she told me that she wanted to go to Iraq to preach the gospel in Iraq, I would be scared. I would be scared. But they need Jesus. They need Jesus. And God's will is greater than mine. His purpose is greater than mine. And so, the first thing we saw is that the gospel is a matter of life and death. And the second thing we saw is that we are called to be preachers. We are called to send out preachers. The third thing I want to talk about to finish our time together is just what we as KCCC are doing to help empower you guys to live out this truth, to help you empower you guys to finish this unfinished task. And so, to do this, I want to go back to what Pastor Wei preached on last Sunday. He taught on Acts 1:8, and in that verse it says that we are to be witnesses in our Jerusalem, our Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And I'm just going to use that as a simple breakdown of to tell you exactly what we're doing here at KCCC. And so one of the things that we're doing is, let's start with the Jerusalem. What is your Jerusalem? That is your schools. That is the places you work. That are the people that you are in contact with all the time. How are we empowering you guys to reach those people? Well, this church, ministry, Sunday sermon, Sunday school, Friday night focus, small groups, all that stuff is meant to empower you, to teach you guys the Word of God so that you can go out and teach it to a dying world. Lately, we've been emphasizing this impact card a lot. This impact card. What it is we ask you guys to write down three names of people that you know who are unbelievers, and you commit to pray for these people, to share with them the gospel, and to, if the opportunity presents itself, invite them to our church. I want you to take this impact card, and if you can't find yours, we have many extra ones. I'll put them out there. And I want you to put it on your mirror. I want to put it someplace that you will see it. Maybe it's in your locker. Maybe it's on the dashboard of your car. So that you see it every day. And when you see it, I want you to be reminded that we are called to preach to the nations. So that's our Jerusalem. What about our Judea? What's our Judea? Well, I believe that will be the Katy area. And so what are we doing to reach the Katy area? What are we doing to reach people that live here, but we don't know? Well, there's a couple of things. A month ago, we had an outreach event at Focus. And there were 30 people who came to our church who did not usually come. And some of them were Buddhists. Some of them were Muslims. What a great opportunity that was for you guys to share with them the purpose of church. To share with them the love of Jesus. In the future, April 21st, we are holding an outreach event at our church. And this is now going to be the whole church. Meaning adults, children, youth, college kids. We're inviting everyone in our neighborhood, everyone in Katy, to come to our church to this outreach event. And this purpose of this is to help you guys. Because I want you guys to invite your friends. I want you guys to invite your coworkers. I want you guys to invite your neighbors. And this will help you guys have the opportunity to share with them the love of Jesus, to share with them why you go to church, to share with them the saving message of the gospel. What about to our Samaria? I would say that is the greater Houston area, through the Samaria. So what are we doing there? Well, this next week, during spring break, we have 8 days of hope. And we encourage you guys to sign up for that, to go out and serve with the cleanup effort in Houston, and take this moment to share love with those who lost everything during the flood. In the same way, June 11th through the 16th, the youth program, we're hosting World Changers. And so we are going to go to World Changers, and we're going to go down to Houston, and we're going to serve our community by helping build up the communities that were destroyed by the flood, by the hurricane. And we, at the same time, we are also going to meet every night to pray and encourage one another to take this opportunity to share your faith with those in the neighborhoods that we're serving in. So those are two events. You can sign up for World Changers. Right now, we have a booth out there in the lobby. Sign up. Today, you can do it. What about the end of the world? What is our church doing to reach nations overseas? Well, I want to share a map with you. Many of you guys have probably seen this map before. Each dot represents a people. And as you can see, The majority of the people groups that are on reach are right in that middle. That 1040 window is what we call it. You can see China there. You can see how many red dots there are in China. And one of the things that we are doing here at KCCC is we are going to start concentrating and focusing our efforts on missions to China. This summer, Pastor Tan is going over to China, and he is going to just develop a ministry, develop a program for us in China that we can go to every year. And so every year we'll be taking teams to these unreached people groups. And everyone could join Pastor Tan. Everyone could join Pastor Tan, me, Pastor Wei, when we go, and our efforts to reach the nations. And so that's part of our vision. And this vision is going to grow, and it's going to develop, and it's going to become more and more concentrated. But overall, we as a church, we want to help you guys, empower you guys to finish this task that God has given us. So those are some of the things that we as a church are doing. But to finish our time together, I want to read you guys another quote from this book. David Platt, he has a heart. He has a big heart for missions. And I love what he said about this. And this. To finish our time together today, I thought it would be best just to read the words of a guy far more articulate, far more wise than I am. And so he says, every saved person this side of heaven owes the gospel to every lost person this side of hell. We owe Christ to the world, to the least person and to the greatest person, to the richest person and to the poorest person, to the best person and to the worst person. We are in debt to the nations. Encompassed with this debt, though an archetypal approach to missions, we have